Grab your swords for a moment and go to Genesis 1. I can share with you definitely that the Word of God is true. And it's not because a man told me, it's because in my visitation with the Lord 18 years ago, one of the first things the Lord said to me is, my word is true, because I never believed the Bible. Well, if God tells you face to face it's true, I can tell you it's true. It is true. And in Genesis 1:1, would everybody go there with me, please? In the first verse, it's very powerful because it explains so many things. And if you'll read that with me, it says, in the what? Beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what's the first thing he created? He created time. Because the word says, in the beginning. So time was the first thing created. Does everybody got it? And he said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, we know that God doesn't make anything without, that can't be used, right? So it's impossible for the earth to be void and with no use in his creation of its perfect will, of his perfect will. So when God creates something, he creates it perfect, doesn't he? Hello. So there, we know that there's a time span between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And that's when Lucifer was praise and worship leader of the universe and so forth. And he was removed. And I'm not going to go into all that teaching, but we have it. And because he was a praise and worship leader of the universe, and you go to Ezekiel and Isaiah, and it talks about Lucifer and how he wanted to exalt himself above the heavens. Well, that means he was somewhere else below the heavens then, right? And that's because he was on the earth. And he was a praise and worship leader of the universe, and the earth was known as the mountain of God according to the universe. And so praise and worship used to come from the earth to the universe. And when Lucifer exalted himself, the Lord removed him. And there was a time when the earth was void and useless. And then the Lord sent his Spirit back to restore it. So everybody got it. So the first thing that was created was time, because where there's a beginning, there's a what? There's an end. So man was created in the realm of time. Amen? And so through man, there was an area where he was brought into a place where there would be an end. So man not only had a beginning, but he had a what? He had an end. And he was created in an atmosphere that would become an end. There was an atmosphere of everything ending, no matter what. Everything that's brought into this realm has an end, doesn't it? Amen? And again, that's because of Lucifer's rebellious fall. And so that established an area where God said right from the beginning, if there's a beginning, there's an end, because the Lord was fulfilling what he was saying. So what God did is he pulled a chunk out of eternity, created a universe, and established a beginning and an end. Even though man was created to be eternal, Adam and Eve, he still knew that there was going to be an end. Why? Because the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, created it, so there has to be an end. Is everybody with me? Amen. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he what? He rested from all of his work which God had created and he had made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day that God, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So man was not only created in the realm of a beginning and end, but the atmosphere of time was held back, or actually not seen. Has everybody got it? It wasn't seen, but it was there, wasn't it? And in this, it was held back, and it was held on the serpent. And I'm going to go a little bit further on this. Now, we know that God rested, didn't he? And we know that the Lord is known as the Lord as the Sabbath. So your relationship with him is this area where it's not that we celebrate, we gather together on the Sabbath day, because every day for me and you should be the Sabbath. Because we should be resting in the Lord every single day. So it's not one specific day. Does everybody got it? But in this period of time, there was a specific day because man worked every day. And at that time, it was difficult for them to acknowledge God. Not like we can not acknowledge God today. So in that time, there was a set day. It was called the Sabbath day. But today, every day is a Sabbath day for me and you, because every day is a day of rest in your relationship with the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? Let's go a little further. And so I want to go into this area. So we know that Lucifer was imprisoned to the earth. That's where he was sentenced to, the earth and its atmosphere. And in this, the Lord, in hope to duplicate himself in man, he was going to duplicate himself in man. The serpent would assist in the training for the reigning of man for God. So God was establishing even the serpent to work for God. Does everybody got this? All right. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Genesis 3. So where there's a beginning, there's a what? And everything in this realm is going to what? End. Everything. Everything that's brought into this realm is going to die, no matter what. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" What was he trying to do? He was trying to promote reason. He was trying to promote a question in her. Because he knew that God said that, didn't he? Yeah, he was there in the garden. "And a woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die, calling God a liar. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like what? You'll be like God, knowing what? Good and evil." Again, this is powerful. Because remember, Eve knew the intent of God was to duplicate himself in his creation with his image and likeness, but his intellect was lacking in his creator, in his creation in man. His intellect was lacking. You know, you only learn through what? Trials, experiences, sufferings. So the intellect of Christ was not imparted in Adam and Eve. But his image and likeness was. And so God, who established them, spoke to them. And Eve, knowing the intent of God, that he wanted to duplicate himself in his children, was still lacking that intellect. So when the serpent said to her, when the serpent said that you will be like God, that triggered something to her, didn't it? Because isn't that what God's intent was for her? Was to be like him? So in this, Eve knew the intent of God to duplicate himself in his creation with his image and likeness, but again, the intellect was lacking. Thus had to be learned. When Eve heard the serpent say that you would be like God, it grabbed her, because not knowing good and evil, but only the intent of God to make her like him. So it grabbed her because she didn't know what good and evil was, but she knew the intent of God, and the serpent utilized the intent of God to deceive her. Is everybody with me? How many times has the devil tried to use his intent to deceive you? Because you know God, listen, he always tries to use the intent of God in your life to deceive you. Why? He tries to move you out of time, out of position. He tries to get you to do the wrong thing. Even though the intent of God is there, and God's intent is still that we be in his image and likeness, character, and intellect. By no, isn't intellect associated with knowing good and evil? Amen? But not become good and evil. So God didn't intend Adam and Eve to become good and evil, but he intended that they would learn or know good and evil. Amen? Through what? Trials and tribulations, through things that he was going to bring them through. He, in other words, in this intent, knowing good and evil, knowing what pleases God and what doesn't. What pleases God and what doesn't. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's speak it together, please. Now, is everybody okay? Y'all got this? Let's read it, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he what? Everyone say chose. Chose me. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So here we are. We were chosen before the foundation, before the Lord created the earth. Amen? And we were predestined to be in his image and likeness. And he was going to have to do this. In other words, his image, likeness, and intellect by learning good and evil. So everybody got it. Knowing what pleases God and what doesn't. So there's an area where God is always trying to bring us that we would become like-minded with him. Like-minded with him. In verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So we were blessed with every spiritual blessing. He chose us before the foundation of the world. In other words, he chose us before he created time. He predestined us to be in his image and likeness and intellect of knowing good and evil, but living in righteousness. And he accepted us as we are. He what? He accepted us as we are. That's the beauty, isn't it? See, so many times we think we need to change before we go to God. You don't need to change before you go to God. In fact, you can't change anyways. The only thing you can do is cooperate with God so you do change. Amen. But it was predestined for you to change. So you're going to have to change whether you like it or not. So you can either go the easy way or get dragged through the bushes and the thorns and, you know. You can either get lassoed and dragged along, or you can get on the bus and get in a river and float. You know, praise God. One or the other. In Ephesians 2 in verse 1. And it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By what? Grace. Now listen, grace is not some kind of mystical magic thing. Grace is the plan of God for you to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Because if you're caught up in the deception of the devil, you know where you end up? In the wrath of God. So grace does not give you a legal right to go out and do what you want to do. Amen. Even the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, that people who have trampled the spirit of grace, that there's no covering. In other words, covenant has been broke. And when you break covenant with God, you're on your own. But I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Yes. But there's a covenant that's got to be maintained. And if you break covenant, just like a contract, you break a contract, you're on your own. So that this mystical thing about grace, this magic thing, oh, grace, I'm saved. But you're saved by the plan of God and cooperating with it. If you're not willing to cooperate with the plan of God, you are not saved. So everybody got it? It's real simple. You are not saved just by grace and it's some mystical thing. You are saved because the fullness of grace had come, which is the plan of God, to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Amen? And you're going to do this by faith, aren't you? Praise God. Let's keep going. I love this. What verse? 6? Okay. And raised us up to what? Together, and made us sit where? Together in heavenly places in what? Christ Jesus. So we've been predestined, blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are seated in heavenly places. Do you know what? God sees everything is finished. We need to also. Everyone say it's finished. So we need to begin to look at things finished. See, if you don't look at things finished, then you're living in the past. If you look at things finished, you're living in the future. And then everything is catching up to you. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace you've been saved through faith, and that of you, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, your works, your labors don't get you in heaven, does it? You can't buy yourself in heaven. That's all you can do is cooperate with the one that's going to get you there. Amen. Hallelujah. So, because we are accepted, in other words, we're accepted the way we are, he's already predestined us in this area to have his plan established. And so in this, he's always looking at me and you is, it's finished, it's finished, it's finished. In other words, God is always, it's an area where he's always prophesying over me and you. He's speaking these things over us all the time. It's finished, it's finished. That's why sometimes you might feel a slap in the back of your head. It's finished. You get it? It's finished. Come on. It's finished. It's already done. That's all we need to do is cooperate with it all the way through. All the way. Oh, Holly, go to verse 14. What does it say? For he himself is our peace, who made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the what? Enmity. Now this is powerful, and it says, and he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by what? One Spirit to the Father. Now grab hold of this, because what he did is he created in himself one new man. He created in himself one new man in the Spirit. And now he has placed that new man of his image, likeness, and intellect in his Spirit to dwell in us, so that it is finished. Again, as we cooperate with him, we change. Amen? So you must cooperate with him to change. So his desire is always to nudge you. His desire is always to keep quicken you. His desire is always to, sometimes he's got to shake us a little bit, or things around us have to be shaken so that we awaken. And so that we begin to hear and we begin to obey. Again, he took everything and created in himself a new man. That's why he came. In his Spirit. Image, likeness, and intellect. Image, likeness, and intellect. See, Adam and Eve did not have the intellect. They had the image and likeness. So everybody got it. But you and I now have the image and likeness and the intellect. And as you and I go through trials and tribulations and things, it's going to bring these things. The Holy Spirit begins to quicken us these things so that we learn. Jesus learned through sufferings, didn't he? So everybody got it, so that we can become like-minded with Christ. Turn to the Gospel of John. Chapter 19. So in the beginning, the Lord created heaven and earth, and then he said it was done.
It's done.
And here he does something powerful also. In verse 28. And as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now what? Accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine, who was that representing? Me and you. Remember, he took the two and created one. The sour wine was a representation of sin, the man of sin, me and you. It says this. And when Jesus, therefore, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things would be in verse 29, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled it with a sponge with sour wine and put it in hyssop, put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it's what? It's finished. And bowing his head, he what? He gave up his spirit, because in this, the sour wine represents the man of the world of sin, the presence of evil, me and you. And his death was the exchange, the death was the exchange for his image and likeness for me and you, in us. So now the two that he created to be one was now available for me and you. So our new life, has everybody got this? Grab hold of this. So his death for his image in us and our new life, it is finished. It's finished. The new life in me and you is finished. Now we just have to cooperate to maintain it. Amen? Listen, when we surrender to his will and his spirit, it's always being manifested. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. It's finished. So we're not living from the past. We're living from the future. If you are willing to accept that it's already done and complete for you, and that's all you're doing is cooperating with it, things are going to come to you. Things will catch up to you. Things must follow you. Jesus said something powerful. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and what? Follow. What did he say to the disciples? He didn't go to them and said, believe me. He said, follow me. Because he knew if they followed, they would change. Amen? They would change. So now the intellect of God is in me and you, if we're willing to cooperate with the mind of Christ, called the intellect of God. Colossians chapter 1. Everyone say, it's finished. So we see here that the Lord and said, in the beginning, amen, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and it's done. Now what he did is to reconcile his creation of man, he says, it's it finished, didn't he? In Colossians 1, verse 19, let's read it together. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should what? Dwell. In who? In Jesus. And by him to what? Reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your what? In your mind by wicked works, yet now he has what? Reconciled. Why? Because now the intellect of Christ is in me and you. In the body of his flesh through what? Death. Through what? So these things are reconciled and established through death, because if you don't stay dead, then he's not alive. All right, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Verse 23, read it with me. If indeed you what? If indeed you what? Continue. Is that cooperate? Amen. In the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not what? Moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now that is powerful, isn't it? So, his death for your life, your death for his life. I'm going to say it again. His death for your life, your death for his life. His death for your life, your death for his life, so that it's what? Finished. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ, this is powerful. Look at it. Verse 4, when Christ, who is whose life? Our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, you are now living in Christ. See, so many times we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and then go out and do all, you know, expect God to live in our life according to the way we live. No, you don't. Listen, he doesn't live in your life, you live in his. That's how it's finished. If you're still trying to bring God into your life while you're still doing wicked things, he's not living in your life. He doesn't live in the old man's life. He associates with the new child, the new creation that does not associate with self, which is the offspring of Satan. That's why we must deny self. Didn't Jesus tell Peter, get behind me, Satan? Amen? Didn't he tell the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, your fathers are the devil? Didn't he tell them, you search the scriptures thinking you have salvation, but you won't come to me and get it? Why? He requires relationship. And he's looking for his son, his character, his image, his likeness, and his intellect in me and you. That's what he associates with. Oh, glory. And verse 5. Let's speak it. Therefore, put the what? To death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the what? Sons of disobedience. So can a believer become a son of disobedience? Yeah. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to what? He says, put it off. Put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And put on the what? The new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who has created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. But Christ is all and what? And in awe. So the process of the of intellect, the mind of Christ in us, is by cooperation and obedience. Listen, the greatest demand on me and you in our lifetime in maintaining a new life is obedience. That's the greatest demand on us. Remember he said sacrifice and offering, he's not interested, right? What's he interested in? Obedience. In obedience. In Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. And verse 26. Verse 26, 18:26. Let's speak it together. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the what? Transgressions, which is the acts of sin, which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and what? and live. So he says, get a new heart and in a spirit. Let me tell you, there's times when we become contaminated. And your heart is the character of your spirit. So if your spirit is contaminated, your heart will express it, usually through your fruits or through your mouth. If your spirit is contaminated, and what do you mean by contamination? Contamination is when it's been touched by evil. And usually a spirit is there. Has everybody got it? It's been contaminated by the presence of evil. Sin means presence of evil. Transgression means to act and cooperate with the presence of evil. And iniquity is when you committed the act, it brings a curse on you and your family line. So when your spirit is contaminated, it's because you've agreed with something that's contaminated your spirit, because you've allowed a spirit to come in and you are contaminated by the presence of an evil spirit. Has everybody got it? And your mouth will express it, or your fruits will express it, or your actions will express it. So this is when we go to the Lord, we say, Lord, I repent. Because when you repent, you're washed by the blood. Amen? So you're forgiven. Now it's your responsibility to get rid of that spirit. And you cry out, Lord, grant me a new heart and a new spirit. How are you going to get a new heart and a new spirit? By cleansing the old and getting rid of the spirit that's in you. Remember, we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight powers of darkness. And it's our responsibility. The Bible says, and those who believe and who follow me in my name, the first thing he says is, you'll cast out what? Devils. Hello? You'll cast out devils. Look in the mirror and see who's in there sometime. Who's in your mirror? You look long enough in those eyes and you'll see something. And when you see it, get rid of it. You know, if there's something that you're doing you know is unpleasing to God, and you don't have control over it or dominion, then someone else does. That means there's an evil presence there. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself because to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by what? The things he suffered. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. So your learning is going to be by some of your trials and tribulations. But understand, because it's finished, and the Spirit of God is in you, and the intellect of God, the mind of Christ is in you, he's going to utilize all of these things till you come to a place where you are allowing the dominion of the mind of Christ to have dominion over everything else in you. Amen? That fight between the carnal mind is associated with reasoning and common sense. The carnal mind is associated with reasoning and common sense. The mind of Christ is not associated with the carnal things. The mind of Christ is associated with kingdom business and only kingdom business. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Let's go a little further. In verse 9, and in having been perfected, he became the what? Author of eternal salvation to all who what? He became the author of eternal salvation to all who what? So if you're a believer and don't obey him, are you really a believer? No. But I accepted Jesus Christ 90 years ago. Well, hopefully you're home by now. Praising God. Is everybody okay? That's why the Bible says work out your own salvation. Right? But you've got to begin to look at the area that he worked it for me and you. We just got to walk in it now. But if we're not willing to obey and walk through it, we lose it. He said again, and having been perfected, he became the author of the eternal salvation to all who what? Obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. That was called a rebuke to the individuals there. So sufferings of separation of the world. You know, when you and I come out of the world is always trying to draw us back. You know, and no matter where you turn in the world, there's always a stumbling block of some sort. You know, and you got to kick it. You always got to be alert. It's kind of, you got to move things out of your way. Amen? And so some of the sufferings is, you know, when we're coming out of the world, because we used to be comfortable associated with the world. And until you are completely out of that, out of the world and severed from the world, that's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, and then you will be my sons and daughters, and I'll be your God. If you don't touch the things of the world. Amen? So in this, that suffering, because the enemy's always trying to get you to agree and touch the things of the world, isn't he? I mean, it's no matter where you turn, everywhere you go to a store, you go here. The ruler of this earth is Satan. And so no matter what you do, but we've got to maintain an attitude that it's finished. We must maintain the attitude that it's finished. Why? Because what was the intent of God? To get his intellect in me and you. And it has been accomplished on the cross when Jesus took the two to be create one man, one with image, likeness, character, and intellect, and has placed it in his spirit, and his spirit has now been placed in me and you so that you and I can say it's finished and we no longer look from the past or live from the past. We live from the future. Amen? And this is where we can say it's finished, because I am. Everyone say, I am, because he is. Amen. What is done for us is salvation for reconciliation. I'm going to say that again. I want you to write these three things down. What is done for us is salvation for reconciliation. What is done in us is salvation for reconciliation. I mean, what is done for us is salvation for reconciliation. What is done in us is holiness and righteousness for his image and likeness. What is done in us is holy and righteousness for his image and likeness. And what is done through us is his expressed intellect for ministry and service backed by the anointing. Sure. What is done through us is his expressed intellect for ministry and service backed by the anointing. Again, what was done for us is salvation for reconciliation. What was done in us is holiness and righteousness for his image and likeness. And what is done through us is his expressed intellect for ministry and service backed by the anointing, where the two became one man. And it's going to take cooperation. So we are maintaining an attitude that it's finished so I can cooperate. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it's done. It's done. Remember, when he started, he said it was done. Now he went to finished, and he went back to, amen, it's done. And he said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I want to close at 2 Timothy 2. It's finished! Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Therefore, if anyone does what? cleanses himself from the latter, that's the old. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord out of a what? A pure heart. In other words, who your associations are is what you also will become. What you associate with is going to affect you. It can contaminate you or can encourage you to be pure. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Again, we want to keep ourselves cleansed from the world, don't we? So we can be a vessel of honor. We must constantly maintain an attitude that it is finished, so we can continue to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, that his intellect, the mind of Christ, can continue to be established and have dominion in every area of your thoughts, of your heart, and of your will. We are in vital times, vital. And the world, the darkness of the world, is after you. But thank God you're the light. And why is it after you? Because you expose it. Because you're the light, and light exposes darkness. So I encourage you, maintain sanctification, come out from among them. Hang with those out of a pure heart. Stay steadfast. Abide in his presence, his word, and in fellowship. And maintain an attitude that it is finished. And when he says it's finished, it means you're healed. When he says it's finished, it means you're sanctified. When he says it's finished, it means you're glorified. It's finished. And if you maintain in that position, things will catch up to you. You won't have to chase after them. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. Let this word penetrate into our spirit, be covered by the blood of the Lamb, watered by the Spirit, and grow and bear fruit for your glory, that we may see you in all things and know that it is finished, that we may walk in the heart, the mind, the will, the image and likeness and character and intellect of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.